On this week's show,
we talk about Batwoman again.
You're fucking wrong.
We talk more about James Gunn.
You're fucking wrong.
We talk about Ant-Man and the Wasp.
You're fucking wrong.
And finally, we talk about Final Space.
You're wrong, and I'm fucking right.
Stay
tuned, fat boy.
Stay tuned.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys, girls, gamers, geezers, geeks, aliens, people who think they're bats, people who don't think they're bats, it's Elba, and people who have prosthetic arms. It's this week's Monkey Nut Punch podcast. That's how you do it, Keith. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
Oh, and before you say anything, wrong! So wrong last week. I was listening to that and I was just like, wrong. And you know what annoyed me most? Is that. Mm-hmm. Little bitty Nigel didn't fucking challenge you on anything. He didn't sit there. Oh, doesn't sound right.
He knows I'm right.
That's because I haven't got a clue what he's talking about. I can't challenge him something if I don't know what's going on.
Okay. All right. So this is this week's rundown. We're going to talk about Ant-Man and the Wasp because I've seen Ant-Man and the Wasp finally in the UK after months of it being available everywhere else in the world. I want to talk about Final Space. I've got my two cents about Batwoman because Keith got it wrong. Then we're going to talk about Idris Elba. You got it wrong.
No, I didn't get it wrong. I just don't think she's cast properly. I think you. I didn't. No, no, I might have got a few things, but I didn't get Batwoman wrong.
Keith.
Excuse me, Keith. Mm. We're not in that section yet.
This is the rundown.
This is the rundown. You know. There is a time and a place to talk, and that'll be the section for Batwoman.
Yes.
Now, please calm down. Hold on to your pants and sit down. There we go.
Daddy, nice.
Gareth, please continue. Please continue.
Oh, see, now he's growing a pair of fucking balls. I've come back. Should have done that last week.
It's because I'm tired.
Okay, fair enough. I've got a theory about... Well, I haven't got a theory. I've got someone else. I'm going to read someone else's theory about Drax. I was going to say it's fucking mine then. All mine, actually. No, I'm going to say it's all fucking my theory about
it's
Drax.
It's all your idea.
I'm going to have a quick chat about Battlefield 5. It's a case of getting woke and going broke and getting fired shortly after. but we'll get across that when we come to it. So, the film that is... How can I put it? Just delayed here, there, and fucking everywhere for everyone in the UK. Ant-Man and the Wasp. Now, I watched this with my family, and my son sat still through the entire thing, which is a good sign.
So he enjoyed it.
They enjoyed it, yeah. So,
My hope is to take the kids this week at some point, because I've got a week off, so. I've got time.
I enjoyed it too. I felt it wasn't the greatest Marvel film in the world, wasn't the worst Marvel film in the world. I felt it was better than Black Panther this year, but not as good as Avengers.
But you can
it's not as good as Black Panther.
It was fucking terrible.
No, you've got a thing for Black Panther because of the sort of political. I would say
it's the fact that I looked past it and it just seemed really. I think it's the fact that Chadwick Boseman. I couldn't root for him for the entire fucking film. I was rooting more for fucking Andy Serkis. Yeah? His sister, who I thought was going to be really irritating in it, because she was really irritating the Avengers, and I'm quite unhappy with what they did with her in the Avengers, because she wasn't as irritating in fucking Black Panther.
Yeah, she was right in Black Panther. The fact
that Wakanda makes no fucking sense, and no one's really thought about it, yeah? You have a material, yeah, which cannot be... How can I put it? Taken apart and put together again with physical means. But somehow an African tribe figured out how to do it 1,000 years ago without transistor technology, electricity, and any of those things. They were just sitting on top of a load of rocks not figuring it out. If Wakanda would have become... If the Terminator said, as of 1890, we figured out how to do all this shit, yeah? And then we became like this. That would make sense. Yeah, because that way...
That will explain the very sharp increase in technological advance.
Yeah, but...
It's so swift.
Yeah, because it's all of a sudden they just didn't, prior to that, they didn't figure it out. So that just is a fucking gaping hole of logic in the entire film. The what's his first, not Kilgrave, Killian, oh, what was his fuck, Killmonger.
Yeah.
Everyone said, oh, he was such a brilliant bad guy. He was fucking boring. He was Black Panther in a mirror. So we got Chadwick Boseman, boring. And then you've got Killmonger.
Killmonger was better than Black Panther. But having Andy Serkis there probably made it more interesting. I don't think Ant-Man and the Wasp was nearly as good as the first one.
No, it wasn't as good as the first one. And you could see, because in the first one, you can see Edgar Wright's fingerprints all over it. And the closest they got to Edgar Wright's fingerprints was the bit where they inject his mate with the truth serum. And he goes on, so where is he? Oh, he's in a bad place at the moment. And then he goes back to the past and tries to tell him a story from where he's in jail. And it's like kind of, oh, your wife's divorced you? Yeah, oh, it's really bad. Don't worry, we'll be best friends. And then it kind of goes through all that. I really like that.
No, I like that. But that was reflecting back to the first one, as you pointed out. But there was a lot of that in the first one, and there was that bit in this one. The story just wasn't... Because you had Avengers... If it had been released next year, maybe it would have felt better. But you're coming down off Avengers 3... And you go into this, and it's such a small film. It sort of, the world that it's in is very much self-contained and small.
Hang on a second. Keith,
yeah.
Review. I can see it written on the box now. It's such a small film, Ant-Man and the Wasp.
But you know what
that's
I mean.
That's tagline.
Yeah. And I don't know. It was okay. There were funny moments in it. Didn't enjoy it as much as the first one, and I would say I didn't enjoy it as much as Black Panther. But I take your point about Black Panther.
With Black Panther, because I watched Black Panther on Blu-ray. I didn't watch it in cinema. I probably would have felt. I don't think I'd have been as critical in the cinema as I was at home, because there's just certain bits that just like in their world, it's just literally. If I fill you full of vibranium, that will fix you. Which, that science, we've got advanced science. What we do is we're just going to pump you full of fucking vibranium, and that will fix you, Martin Freeman, when you're broken back. Yeah? Annoyingly, his sister in Black Panther made a lot of sense, and I agreed with a lot of things she said, which I thought I was going to be completely opposite. I thought I was going to fucking hate her because of the line that they did in Avengers with the crystal in what's-his-face's head, where I would have, if I was Bruce Banner, I would have turned around, looked at her and gone, it's a fucking Infinity Stone. It's been around since before the dawn of time. It did this, not us. Yeah? Fuck off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, her little dig.
Why did you do this? Why did you do it like this? We didn't
you
do it like didn't. That! It was either the big fucking armor-plated robot called Ultron or the fucking Mind Stone, one of the two. Actually, no, they both came from the same fucking source. Shut up, you tart. And that's annoying because I didn't find her as irritating in the film. I really genuinely thought because of that line, I would have hated her in the film. But I actually found myself... She was one of the characters I genuinely liked.
Yeah, no, she is better. She is better in Black Panther. You're absolutely right.
And the CGI fight at the end where they're fighting on the things is back Panther.
Yes, terrible.
Was terrible.
Terrible.
Terrible PlayStation 2 cutsequence. That's how bad it was.
It's really very bad. There was quite a few articles around that, how bad some of the CGI is in Black Panther. It's some of the worst in any Marvel film. But talking of CGI... The de-aging of Michelle Pfeiffer in Ant-Man was quite impressive. They're getting very good at that de-aging. I mean, what's his face? Robert Downey Jr.'s Civil War was quite dodgy, as was Kurt Russell's. But
Kurt Russell's, I felt, was the best.
In places, it was very good. In other places, it was quite dodgy.
Which places was it dodgy?
I think the bit where he's in the car and he's driving along.
No, that's the clearest one you get of it, and it looks well. Do you know what they did? They got, they
watch it on
paint,
Blu-ray.
I've watched it on Blu-ray.
Well, to me, in the cinema, it looked really good, but on Blu-ray, it doesn't look as good.
Get your eyes fucking tested, mate.
Well, no, because I think the way they condense down the films, it actually, the way they sort of encode the films when they put them onto Blu-ray, I think it brings out dodgy CGI effects. Half the time, they have to redo a lot of the effect scenes for the Blu-ray releases, or they are updating because they didn't finish it in time.
Anyway, let's get back to the Ant-Man Wasp. I did have a few problems with it. One was the fact that the Wasp character, who probably weighs about 80 pounds, could hit a 250-pound, 5-foot-wide broad footer and knock him on his ass without using powers. Didn't like that. I liked it when they do use the powers because it all makes a bit sense, yeah? That kind of... I find that at the moment really grating on me. It's like kind of, if you're going to do it, you have to do it clever. It's like, if you watch Agent Carter, never did she ever take down a big fella like that. She would pick up, say, like a anvil and hit them with an anvil or a bowling ball or something heavy. And then you'd sit there and go, yep, that makes perfect sense. If you get hit with a 2-ton weight, you're going down like a sack of spuds. So that kind of grated on me. The ghost character, they gender swapped the ghost character. She was all right. It's annoying because she was like a roadblock towards them sorting things out towards the end. What's his mush? Oopsies, Lawrence Fishburne. His aging wasn't so great. His de-aging, sorry, wasn't so great.
Yes. No, I agree with you.
Just it wasn't, I don't know, maybe it was just the level. It was just like, leave a bit of age in there. He was good. I like the way he kind of portrayed them after fashion. The Scott Lang character, they forget that he has like doctorates in electrical engineering. They forget that the guy is actually fucking very well qualified, and that was a big thing in the first film, is how he threw away a career to do something right.
Yeah.
So they forget that, and he's like talking to him like he's a complete dummy, which I don't like because he's not a complete dummy. Yeah, it's like the thing we're fixing the what's it? I just want to point out. Yeah, Michael Keaton, was his face Michael Douglas? Yeah, Michael Douglas and Michelle Pfeiffer. Yeah. Right, Michael Douglas wouldn't go subatomic because he couldn't figure a way of getting back. Yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer went subatomic, couldn't figure out a way of getting back. Scott Lang, yeah, electrical engineer, goes subatomic, figures out to come back in one fucking go. And they talk down to him, and it's like, kind of, I don't sound rude or anything, guys. You couldn't fucking do it, I did it, all right? So you can piss off. I didn't like that. That was like kind of that really. I understand him not being able to fight, because he's not a fighter sort of person. He's a guy who uses his head to solve problems. But they kind of dropped the whole, he has qualifications and knows what he's doing. The only example of that was the fact that they were setting up all those security systems for their the client that they were trying to get a contract with.
Yes.
But I did enjoy it. The last sequence where they're chasing them downtown in San Francisco.
Oh, that was quite good.
That was good. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the camp FBI agent he had to report to.
Yes.
What was his Chinese fellow? I can't fucking remember his name. And he's like, kind of, he goes, you're going to have to show me. He goes, what? Because he's talking about Ant-Man growing and shrinking. He goes, no, the car trick. And the bit where he's spending time with his daughter and they've built like a big cardboard kind of fort thing and slide and whatnot. That, I'm looking at that thinking, shit. As a dad, that puts me to shame. Yeah, that was one bit I was like, ah, crap. Yeah, and the way his daughter would cover for him and stuff. It had the heart. His heart was in the right place, if that made sense.
Yes, I'll give you that. Yeah? I will
they
give you that.
They have heart.
It's by no means the worst Marvel movie. No, by no means
Dark
the worst.
World. Thor the Dark World, still the worst one.
I don't know. Iron Man 2's got a lot to answer for. But
Iron Man 2's not as bad as Thor the Dark World. See, the only thing you got going with Thor: The Dark World is Loki. Loki literally held up that whole fucking film by himself. And that's why they got fucking Taika Waititi in to do Ragnarok. And that's the guy I peg for doing Guardians of the Galaxy.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes
Taika
sense.
Taika Waititi can do that. They don't have to get anyone else. And he comes across as a nice guy too. So they're not gonna rail against him, because it's like, kind of, dude, I just, you know, they gave him this job, I'm not gonna say no.
No, that could actually work. I mean, they're using the script anyway, so it's could work. Anyway, the next Marvel movie is Captain Marvel, isn't it? See, I'm intrigued by this film. I really, really am. I know that you've got reservations, but I'm intrigued by this because they're bringing back
Captain Marvel. Is the most hated Marvel character of all time, and she's not even a bad guy. She's terrible. But... And the other thing too, do yourself a favor, pop on Twitter, find Brie. Is it Larson?
Yeah, Brie Larson, is it? Yeah.
Sorry, I almost said there's a porn star that was going out with Charlie Sheen called Brie something. I thought I was going to get you fucking tweets. Look at Twitter in the wrong place. Find her thingy. Look at the picture that she's got on there, if it's still there, yeah? She looks like she hasn't washed in weeks.
It depends what film she's in. But she's a very good actress.
What's she been in?
She's played quite a few films, but she played a film about a woman that was imprisoned, she was kidnapped and then imprisoned, then had a child in captivity, that kind of thing. But that was a very powerful film. She was very, very good in that. And I've seen her in a few other things where she's been quite good. She's won a couple of awards as well. She is quite a good actress. It's not her that I'm intrigued by. That, I mean, they're bringing back Mr. Samuel L. Jackson as Fury. They're bringing back Greg Clark as what's his face, Agent Coulson. So I think they're going to have to use the de-aging tech again, like throughout the whole of that, for Phil Coulson, because it's set in the 90s. Although, to be honest with you, he doesn't look that much older than he did in the very first fucking Iron Man film, which was 10 years ago. He really hasn't aged in the last 10 years much.
See, the thing with him is that they should give him a wig and a ponytail. If they want to do it right and they want to put it back in time, a wig and a ponytail, because that way it's clearly this is 90s thing, and then she can sit there and say, for fuck's sake, lose the ponytail. Yeah, I think, and that's like Lola.
I think Ant-Man, just what I remember, I think the end of Ant-Man gave us a hint at what to expect in Avengers 4. Because when Scott is just about to go down, she warns him about time, something to do with time.
Time vortices.
So what do you reckon, that Scott's going to be the one that sort of just pops up and...
Well, first things first is I reckon Scott can save himself because he's already done it once.
Yeah, despite
they're all their fucking... They're down talking to him, he can fucking pull himself out quite easily. So I reckon that's going to happen, and he's going to find out that the whole world's gone, and then but something's going to happen on the way back. That's where it's going to come from. Something's going to happen on the way back, like he'll pop out in another dimension or something, and he'll be like, shit, I done it wrong.
You see, now talking of that, I'm intrigued by the title for the next Spider-Man movie, because Homecoming had a number of different meanings, and Marvel said that. But the Spider-Man one, Far Away From Home, that has a gazillion different potential meanings.
It's set in England, isn't it? For one of the fights is set in England, sorry. He's supposed to be like on like break or something.
It's set straight after Avengers 4. They keep saying this. They've even said it again now, even though, you know, technically he's dead at the moment. They have said the events of this film take place directly after Avengers 4. Like, there's no time jump.
Okay.
So your thing about different universe or different dimensions. It's been branded around more than once that that could be a potential storyline for Avengers 4. They are very specific about the fact that it takes, you know, it takes place directly after Avengers 4. And they keep saying this, like, something's going to happen that is going to affect this film. Now, I've always theorized with you for the last year or two that Robert Downey Jr. is going to, Iron Man is going to die. And that's going to affect, what's his face? We know now that Nick Fury is going to be in Spider-Man 4, along with Cobie Smulders, Agent Hill. So they're going to be in Spider-Man 4. So does Nick Fury take over the whole Robert Downey Jr. for because he gets dead? And, you know, Nick Fury is going to be in this, even though he's dead at the end of Avengers 3. So is it a different dimension? Is this how we're going to do it? Are we going into the Spider-Verse?
Well, wouldn't it be funny if, say, Thanos won in another universe and he clicked his fingers and he erased the other half of the universe and they turn around and goes, I've got an idea. We could merge the two together. Just got to remote. Merge the two together and the half that we're missing are now back. And there's an empty universe, which we'll call the negative zone.
That's
one way around it. I'm thinking like a database. That's why. Oh, these entries are missing from the database. Spider-Man entry's gone. Fuck, I've got to rewrite that.
It's an interesting title.
Anyway, going back to Ant-Man and the Wasp, I enjoyed it. It was a fun popcorn flick. Didn't have any fucking politics in it whatsoever. I know a lot of people complained, and I think that's the reason I enjoyed it, because it was just a goddamn film.
They're complaining because there isn't enough politics in there.
Yeah, there wasn't any politics in it of any shape.
Why can't we just have a film with no politics and just a nice, fun family flick?
Yeah, and that's why I think I liked it, because I'm quite sick of politics.
Yeah, I'm sick of it.
I'm getting a little pissed off, and we'll move on. We'll talk about James Gunn and Batwoman in a moment. And it'll all make sense. Okay, I watched a TV series on Netflix. Of course, a cartoon series on Netflix on the recommendation of my brother. And it was Rick and Morty-esque. And then I started watching it, and then I realized that it had been stealing bits from all my favorite science fiction shows, like, ever.
What was it called?
Final Space. I think I tried showing you the first, like, 10 minutes of an episode.
Oh, yeah.
And it starts off very Mass Effect 2, where the guy's floating through space and it's like the oxygen supply is running out. And the computer's going, oh, because you've got 9 minutes of oxygen left. And he's like, kind of, oh, look, they used green for a red alert. I would have used red. he's been arrested and sent to 5 years hard labor in deep space, where he has a droid called Kevin to keep him not going sane, which kind of reminds me of Red Dwarf, a computer called Hugh, which is supposed to be like Hal from 2001 Space Odyssey. And then you find out how he got there. He was trying to impress a girl in a bar, so he stole a pilot's uniform from a pilot, leaving him in the toilet. And then as he tries to go, he goes, come on, pilot, take me to my destination. He goes, yeah, fine. Switch on, flips the master arm switch and fucking destroys, I think it was 27 spaceships in a small family-owned Mexican restaurant.
Yeah. She goes, you're not actually a pilot, are you?
Yes. I was just trying to impress you. Anyway, he had to do a 5-year sentence. His name's Gary Godspeed. Godspeed. And the story kind of goes through, and it's got like, Keith, do you remember the third Babylon 5 Third Space?
Yes. Yes.
They're the bad guys for all intents and purposes. There's a third space, or final space, as I like to call it. And they're trying to open up the rift to let them through, which I found quite amusing. David Tennant's the bad guy as Lord Commander, this tiny little alien with like really gnarly telekinetic powers. Really interesting to watch. I really enjoyed it. I recommend you watch the first episode. If you like the first episode, you'll probably like the rest. It's a one episode should do it. thing, not four. You don't need the 4-episode rule for this, because literally, if you don't like the first episode, you're not going to like the rest. Nice and simple.
Fair enough.
But it's nice because it feels like Rick and Morty, but there's a bit more to it. It has like a nice coherent story with an arc in it and whatnot, and I found it really entertaining.
Is it anyway? Funny?
It's funny, yes.
Yeah, okay. It's on Netflix, it's isn't
fun.
It?
Netflix Final Space.
Yep, I'll check it out.
Might need to switch your VPN on and switch to a different country.
No, it's available here.
Okay, so Batwoman last week. Keith, you're wrong.
How am I wrong?
You're so wrong.
This is the point where you can talk about Batwoman, Keith.
Where you can talk about Batwoman. Okay.
How am I wrong?
You have permission.
How are you wrong? Right, okay. Right, what they're doing, yeah, is they are going for a gender-swapped Batman. Because a gender-swapped Batman is going to be more fucking entertaining than Batwoman. Because I'll be honest with you, I know Batgirl, I know Robin, I know Oracle, I know Alfred. I don't know fucking Batwoman. The reason I don't know Batwoman is she's not fucking interesting and she hasn't had any interesting stories, where Batman has had fucking as many as Spider-Man as interesting storyline wise. And as I said, it's like I know Batgirl over Batwoman. So what I think they're doing is they're going for a gender swapped Batman, because we don't want to see Batwoman because she's not interesting. We want to see Batman. Yeah? And they can't have Batman.
Well, but they can't have Batwoman. Not strictly true, because they've already mentioned Bruce Wayne several times in the last season of Arrow.
They can't have Batman.
Yeah, but they got Superman, can't they have Batman?
Yeah, they must have been a fucking almighty set of wrangling to get that, okay? But given the way everything is with the DCU and the mess that it is, they ain't going to get Batman, okay? Batman is still worth a fucking fortune to Warner Brothers.
But I'm not wrong about the actress, because she's terrible.
She's not.
She is. She was bloody irritating, annoying in Orange is the New Black.
Hang on a second. No, stop. Have you seen John Wick 2?
No.
Okay, she's an assassin in John Wick 2. She's pretty silent and moody in that. Kind of like Batman.
Everything I've seen her in, she plays the same character. So she's the same character with that sort of really sort of can't be bothered voice. You know, it's like,
Can you be bothered though?
It's almost like she can't be bothered to act. She was very much like that in Orange is the New Black and just about everything else I've seen her in. And it pisses me off. Like you were pissed off, getting pissed off with politics. You know what I'm like when somebody describes himself as gender fluid? Fuck off. But that's as that. And that just immediately winds me up.
See, when I hear the term gender fluid, I think mop and bucket. Either way, a mop and bucket is probably what's required there. If you're saying you put gender fluid on something,
it's such a piece.
Maybe some baby wipes.
Bollocks. I mean, my sister-in-law is what Ty's called a tomboy. So she dresses and looks like a man and identifies as a man. You've got the lady boys here who identifies women. I'm cool with that. I'm fine with that. It's this gender fluid bullshit because she wants and dresses and looks like a man, but we're going to call you gender fluid. Do you know Facebook has 77 different fucking genders on it? 77!
I identify as a Jedi.
Hang on a second. They have 77 things, but they don't have a dislike button.
Yeah.
That seems crazy, doesn't it?
Yep. I'm not an angry face button.
That's as close as you get to it.
Your theory, if your theory is there, I'm not wrong in what I don't think she's a good actress, and I think she's the wrong fit. But I hear what you're saying, that potentially they want to do a gender swapped Batman, but they're not, because she doesn't identify as a woman. She identifies as a gender fluid, whatever that bullshit is. Now, she said to me, attack helicopter. Yeah, I'm down with that. But seriously, and I have not seen her in anything where I think she's a good actress. She irritates me in everything I see. And And that's my problem with it. Although, on the other hand, I wish people would stop sending hate mail and all that bullshit over Twitter. She might irritate me, but I don't need to fucking start threatening her on Twitter and all this. This thing that's happening at the moment, just because you don't like the casting or the character. I mean, that poor girl that was in The Last of the Jedi, the Asian girl, got absolutely ambusted.
No, she didn't. She was told to switch off her thing by Disney.
Was she? Well, the media reported the fact that she got a lot of hate mail.
No. I watched
that's
a ton
what was
of,
reported.
That, with no evidence. So the thing was, it was most likely Disney telling her to switch it off because you might spoil the fucking film.
Just to let you know about this whole gender business, I go to boot camps and it's run by ex-military or military people, and I'm friends with one of them on Facebook, and he's posted a thing about the British Army, and they say the British Army are now recognising 64 genders.
What the fuck?
Yep, they recognise 64 genders, but only men are allowed to fight. Men 60. And women. Yeah, only, hang on a second. Yeah, they're like 64, but only men and women are allowed to fight. That's it. Oh, you don't identify as a man or a woman? There's no fuck off. We don't need Fruity Loops here. We've got to deal with fucking PTSD and gunfire.
You see, that's the thing
I
just don't...
into this.
I don't... This is it's, the thing I just can't understand. Shit,
but...
I think it's bullshit, and I think... But I'm down. I completely understand. I get men, women wanting to be men, and men wanting to be fit and being trapped in the wrong bodies. That I understand. I'm fine with that. I'm cool with that. I get it. I do not get this third thing. This fluid. I just don't understand it because I think it's a load of bullshit.
When Keith says that he can identify with someone being trapped in someone else's body, that's what his twin is saying, trapped inside his body because he ate him when he was
still but, there.
My sister-in-law is that well, my sister stroke brother-in-law. I get it. I understand it. It's fine. And I accept it. It doesn't bother me in the slightest, but this does, and I don't know why. It just, this gender fluid, this, I'm not a man, I'm not a girl. Well, what the fuck are you now?
Did you know in the days before Rome fell, they had similar things, believe it or not?
Really?
Yeah, I'm worried that what we're seeing is societal decay. Mm-hmm. Because life is too easy for us. That's what I think it is. Life is too easy that we can now concern ourselves with this bullshit.
Yep.
That's where I think it partly comes from. It's life is too easy for us. So, I'm going to implement a war after this. make everyone's life a little harder, ration food, so that'll take care of diabetes and obesity. And, that should sort everything out. Anyway, talking about swapping things over, Idris Elba keeps posting on fucking Twitter that he wants to be James Bond.
Well, he posted a Twitter the other day that got it all started, didn't he? He goes, the name's Elba, Idris Elba, and everybody's like, like that. And I think he's just winding everybody up because
Before, we go any further with this, have you seen the Google advert with John Boyega talking to, it's Amazon, not Google. Well, it might be
no,
Google.
It's Google. One it's Google a, Home.
Yeah. It's Google Home, yeah. And he's in a suit and stuff like that, looking in front. Yeah. And he makes a little joke on that as well. So why should we take a little joke from Idris as gospel as him? Everyone probably wants to be Bond, mate. Everyone.
Yeah.
If you're an actor and British and you know Bond's up for grabs, who isn't going to be putting their name out there?
There are Americans who want to be fucking James Bond too.
No.
Well, if they...
Sorry?
No.
What do you mean there are no... No, I'm not saying...
No, I'm just saying, no, it's not happening. No, no, it's fucking sacrilege. No. I mean, they had South African or Australian once... Where was that?
George Lazenby.
Yeah, where was he from?
I think he was Australian.
Yeah, and look how that worked out.
Yeah, he shagged Whatsamush Pauline from fucking EastEnders. That's how bad that was. That's how badly that fucking worked out. I would just like to point out for people who don't watch EastEnders, Pauline is a dog. I mean a real dog in EastEnders.
Isn't she like dead?
A proper bitch.
I think she might be, actually. I might be speaking ill of those who have passed. Yeah. It goes like this. No, don't. Look, right, as I was saying to Keith before we started, there was one guy who could play a black James Bond, and he did it. He's done it in three films already, and his name is Colin Salmon. Yeah? He wants to speak with a very well-to-do accent, comes across very posh. He's been in Arrow. He was in the first two series of Arrow as the husband of Whatsamush.
Arrow's mum.
Mummy Queen. Mummy Queen. He came across as that, and he's been in a load of other things too. I can't fucking remember any of them apart from.
Oh, he's been in so many American TV series recently. He's done a lot of American TV work. He has.
And the downside about it is he's bald as a fucking coat. If he wasn't bald, then he could probably pull off James Bond, and he's the only black actor that I think could genuinely pull it off because I've already seen him do it.
So why can't James Bond be bald? That's the bigger question here.
No, because James, you have to understand what James Bond is. James Bond, is a fantasy archetype for middle-aged men. And one thing that men pride, Nige, you know this, and I know this.
Is there shaving chests?
It's a full head of hair.
Is it?
Yeah, but you know what's going to happen? They're going to gender swap it, and next time it's going to be Jane Bond.
Yeah, Jane Bond. I've heard
rumours than that, that it could happen. I mean, come on, we're living in an age where, you know, this happens.
Well, look, for me, you have to understand that James Bond is a fantasy. That's why he drives the fast cars and he gets balls of young birds, yeah?
There's all the fancy toys.
But that's not politically correct anymore. I mean, Daniel Craig does that far less in all of the movies, if you noticed.
What? Drive fast cars?
He drives fast cars, except the first one where he drove a Ford Mondeo.
What was that?
That was Casino Royale. He was in a Ford Mondeo.
It's a Ford Mondeo.
He fucking was! And he ordered a Heineken. I mean, seriously. What the fuck's that all about?
I just love the idea that James Bond is like the world's worst spy. What happens is he goes to these places, he gets a bit nervous, he gets absolutely hammered, makes out that someone's the bad guy with world domination plans, and just like kicks the shit out of everyone in this blur of windmilling hands and throwing shit at people. So in his head,
if you've got a set of keys, make him count.
Seriously, that's what he does. But in his head, you get to see what the film is. Oh, quick theory. Pierce Brosnan's last James Bond film.
Yeah.
Was it To Die Another Day? Yeah. There's a theory that he dies at the beginning. And everything is in his head as he's dying. This is like a fantasy he's playing out in his head because he's been in captivity so long. When you learn survival techniques, one of the survival techniques is if you get captured, they tell you to start novelizing in your head. So you write stories in your head to stop you from going crazy. Yeah, I know techniques to stop me from going crazy. And that was one of the stories that he was writing in his head that he was imagining towards the end of his life. And that explains why it was so fucking out of it.
I think that's just a theory to write off one of the worst James Bond movies out there.
I think it makes it much more interesting. All right.
It's okay. Toby Stevens was turned into James Bond. Go on.
He was James Bond. That he was fighting himself. He was fighting the image of himself.
Well, no. Toby Stevens' character was initially a North Korean terrorist, wasn't he? And then he was turned into a middle-aged white guy. That's not racist in any way.
Koreans are not as fucking racially sensitive as other groups. They wouldn't give a shit. They didn't then. They wouldn't now.
Yeah, but
people would give a shit on their behalf. That's what you're thinking.
We said this the other day. Actually, you know, out of all of the races that are most prejudiced against at the moment, it seems, on television and Hollywood, is the Asians. It's like, you look at fucking Doctor Who, for instance. You know, it's got an Asian, a black guy, and a white dude, right? And a woman as the Doctor. But you're missing, like, a third of the world's fucking population there. And it happens everywhere.
It's politically expedient. We know this.
And it's politically acceptable to still be prejudiced against Asian people. I say Asian people because in the UK we refer to Asian people as Indian. But you know what I mean. And it's because you can't say Oriental anymore because apparently that's politically incorrect.
From the Orient, then.
From the Orient.
Well, they say people of colour, because coloured people wasn't fucking racist, so people of colour, that's fucking racist too. It doesn't matter which way you arrange the fucking words, it sounds bad.
Yes, it does.
It does. It's just, but let's get some real fucking, you know, let's just forget it and put, rearrange other words. Anyway, I've got a theory.
Go on.
A game theory?
No, film theory.
A film theory?
Film theory. It goes like this, yeah? Drax, yeah? Drax's sight is completely based on motion. And the reason I say that, yeah, is I reckon they've been building on this since the first fucking film where you had the bit at the end where it was his missus dancing and he looks and he's totally still and he can't see him. And then if you watch the beginning of the second one where they fight the big monster, there's a bit where Groot's running across the bit and he stops, freezes, and Drax can't see him. Yeah? I think Groot knows the fact that this happens. But here comes the twist. I think he might be able to go invisible if he stays still long enough.
But that was the Hence joke the in the third one.
That was the joke in the third Avengers film. And the reason I think that happened is because Quill and fucking Gamora were chatting away, yeah? And he was standing there. You didn't see him walk on. You didn't hear him move. Nothing. He just appeared from nowhere. Do you know why? Because I reckon he was standing still long enough so he didn't get noticed.
See, the thing is, I like Drax. Drax is probably one of my favourite of the Guardians characters, but I am a bit like you, getting a bit miffed at Dave Bautista at the moment. It's like, give it a fucking rest. But I do like Drax. I love Drax. And that's probably one of the funniest bits in Avengers 3, that whole Drax bit. The Guardians were the funniest thing in Avengers 3. I mean, I've watched it again a couple of times since. And the bit with Peter Quill imitating Thor and the whole Drax, you know, if I move really, really slowly, you can't see me thing. It's hilarious. It's really, really fucking funny. My point is that I love Drax. And I hope you're right, because that would be really, really funny. If they've been building to that whole joke and then they just come out with it in Guardians of the Galaxy 3, that would be very, very funny.
That he's fucking invisible when he stands still long enough. It's like, if I completely still, no one sees me. And he is, and no one sees him. And you do just like some clever camera work so you can't see him. That would be amazing.
He does have the best quotes, though, doesn't he?
Yes, he does have the best quotes. Right. James Gunn thing. I'm fucking sick of this James Gunn stuff.
Well, it's
By James Gunn's own standards, he should be fired. By Disney's standards, who are fucking strict, and I mean really strict, as in they won't let you smoke anywhere near the Avengers or any Marvel property set, yeah? He should be fired, okay? By my standards, he should have been suspended, investigated, docked some wages, made to apologise publicly, and then got on to fucking doing his shit. But I've changed my mind. You know why I've changed my mind? Because I'm fucking sick of this shit. Fire him. Fire him into the goddamn sun.
They haven't
Along with Dave Bautista.
No, you seriously. See, here's the
fire
thing.
Fire both of them into the sun. Shut up. I'm having a moan. Fire them both into the goddamn sun because I'm just sick of it, yeah? James Gunn went out of his way to start fights on Twitter, which is not good for fucking publicity for a company. Yeah, he went out of his way, started fights with people on Twitter, and he turned around and said, if you tweet something, he goes, you should be held accountable for it, and you should understand that free speech isn't free from consequences. And he got fucked by his own fucking words and hoisted on his own fucking petard, yeah? Which is poetic justice. I don't believe that's right. He does. End of fucking story. Can you please fucking disappear? And Dave Bautista, what are you fucking doing? Why didn't you go for the role in Terminator? Because you as the Terminator works in my head. And could you just shut the fuck up? I've had enough. All right. Okay. Next, Battlefield 5.
No. But it's over with now because Disney have officially announced he's not coming back, but they're using his script. So that should appease everybody. I can understand Disney sticking to their decision. I don't agree with the decision they made in the first place. I think they're hypocritical, and I stand by that. They knew about this prior to this.
No, I don't.
They did.
Think they're hypocritical.
They knew about this. I will state my brand new camera, my drone, everything on it. They knew about these tweets prior to employing him. They knew. And Disney do have double standards. Look at Dumbo. Yeah, look at their history. They're not a clean cut company. You look at their history. They make out like now that they're the innocent company, but they're not bollocks. They've made blatantly racist movies. Okay, they might have been years ago, but things change and times change.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm done with it now.
And hang on a second. And Keith, when it comes to paedophilia, I don't want fucking times to change.
Yes, they want to be seen as the scumbags that they are. Fucking evidence. And if he does come out, then I hope they fucking hang him. But
if in 5 years' time we hear something, and that's probably around about the amount of time it will happen, from two failed movies, and then he disappears, and then some weird shit happens, and he crashes his car, and they find his car full of weird shit on his laptop, yeah, when that happens, because I think that's going to happen because of the Savile rule, yeah? And lots of people were saying stuff about Savile, and he was saying dodgy things, yeah,
but he could be just an
fucking
idiot.
Cooler.
And I do say innocent till proven guilty, but I want to change the subject slightly because I don't know if you're aware of this, but this keeps coming back, brings up the... Have you heard about Chris Hardwick? Have you heard all of this stuff going on about Chris Hardwick?
Yes, I heard about Chris Hardwick.
Have you heard... Right, so AMC did an investigation into him and they concluded that there was no evidence to back up the claims of this girl. So he has come back. Yet the Nerdist put out this fucking statement this week saying, oh, we've put him back on, because they took him off as the founder of the Nerdist. Look, whether you like it or not, Chris Hardwick found the Nerdist. You can't just erase history, right? But they're now sort of making out that this guy's still guilty, even though AMC have said, we've done an investigation, there's no evidence. You look into this in a bit further, and his ex-girlfriend has done the following. She has said this week, she didn't want to ruin his career, but she stands by what she said. She has evidence, but she refuses to show anybody the evidence. She refused to take part in the investigation that AMC put into this. AMC immediately suspended this guy when these allegations came out. So they took these allegations very, very seriously. So, you know, if this was a real accusation, showing the evidence to AMC, the AMC would have fired the guy, but she didn't. He refused to take part. What does that say to you?
Hang on a second. AMC did what I would do.
Yeah.
You suspend him, you check, he's fine, back to work. Apology. Yeah. Sorry for the inconvenience, everyone.
And the way the Nerdist behaved this week was fucking unforgivable.
I don't like the Nerdist. The reason I don't like the Nerdist is because of fucking Jessica Chobot.
Why does she bug you? I'm intrigued by that.
There's a game that she put together called, I think it was Daylight, and I bought it on the PS4 thinking it would be a really good game after watching her tell us about the game. It's terrible shit. I can't get out the first fucking room. I'm not an idiot when it comes to games.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I feel like I was ripped off. I do not like her because of that.
Fair enough.
That's why, because I feel like she's fucking stolen $7.99 from me. If she gave me back the $7.99, I'd be fine. If I met her and she goes, here's $7.99, I go, now we can be friends.
There's a,
no. You stole it from your cow.
They pissed me off by this statement this week, because their statement basically implied that he was guilty, and that we're in a day and age now where we've forgotten innocent till proven guilty, and this guy, there is no fucking evidence to say this guy's guilty. It's because we live in a man, because a woman's made an accusation, everybody believes it straight away without any kind of evidence. And then when you look at what this woman has done and how she has behaved since, she is acting incredibly guilty. I might be wrong in this, but she is acting like she made the whole fucking thing up.
Right.
I thought there was such thing as libel. So if you make an accusation about somebody...
I hope to got the libel if it's written, slander if it's spoken.
She never named him.
No, so, slander then.
She never named
him. Surely, libel.
She never named him. But it was obvious who she was talking about. So, so that's why AMC... suspended him and looked into it, but she refused to take part in this thing, and she keeps banging on about having this evidence, but she refuses to show anybody. I call bullshit.
Well, if she turned around and said, "I'll only show it to the law," this is the thing. If something had happened, she would have gone to the fucking police, or she would have had a friend good enough to drag her ass down to the goddamn police station and sort it out. Yeah, because if someone has broken the law, you fucking take them to town.
Here's what I think happened. People have bad breakups. When you break up from somebody, it's very rarely that it's amicable. They probably had an argument behind closed doors. She wrote a load of bullshit in a temper on thingy, and then went, "Oh shit," because people took this seriously, because we live in the day and age of Me Too. And she shat herself. But instead of saying, I made the whole thing up, she's just behaving. I might be wrong here, and I'm not saying we shouldn't take these accusations seriously, but when somebody refuses to show the evidence, innocent till proven guilty, and the way the Nerdist behaved this week with that statement was fucking wrong. And if I was Chris, don't like the Nerdist, I'd sue them.
I don't like the Nerdist.
My rant is now over.
Nerdist.
I don't even like Chris Hardwick, actually. I find him quite dull.
He's all right on, The Talking Dead. I don't even like him on
The Talking Dead. I think all he does is he talks and interrupts all the bits that I want to fucking watch. So would you shut up? I'm trying to see what's going on next week.
I don't like any of these programs. They're just cheap television. You know, do a podcast. Mm. It's like a podcast.
But it goes like this. She can sit in the rocket next to Dave Bautista and James Gunn. Let's get a crowdfunding campaign going. NASA have got a probe ready to launch at the sun as we speak. Yeah. Let's just see if we can just tie three seats to it, get an extra couple of dollars out of the whole fucking thing. Yeah. Mm. Fire him into the sun so we can have some peace and quiet. That's only because I'm sick of it. Just a quick one. I sent you a link to Brie Larson's Twitter. Have a look at her profile picture. Tell me if her hair looks like it smells.
What the fuck?
Look like it smells?
I need to... here we go. Right. Sorry. Skype's changed again. They can change it. Oh, my God. That's a particularly bad picture. Yeah. I'll give you that.
Does her hair look like it smells?
It does a bit. She does some... She looks a bit like... Chloe from 24, doesn't she?
Yep, she looks like Chloe from 24. That's going to be Miss Marvel.
Yes, don't I know, read her but Twitter. Don't read her tweets,
they're poison.
I've seen her in a few films, and she is a good actress. So, what's funny, though, is this film's out in a few months' time, and they still haven't released... Okay, no, it's not. When's it out? Is it like a month before Avengers 4?
I think it might be a month.
Where the fuck is the trailer to it? There's just nothing about this film at all yet.
That shows that they've got no faith in it. Seriously, there are so many other films that they fucking put stuff out for.
They put Avengers stuff out like a full fucking year before it.
Yeah. Yeah. And Black Panther and Ant-Man and the Wasp and everything, and not this. I think they're worried that it's going to be a bit of fallout from it. Oh, and here's another thing. The James Gunn was supposed to have a hearing or whatever to see if they get re-employed, and Kevin Feige was supposed to stand by him.
Mm-hmm.
You know that Kevin Feige wasn't in the country when they had that hearing. Says something, doesn't it?
I don't know. You hear one side of it and then you hear something else or whatever. What
as I said,
the truth
fire
is.
Him into the sun. Fire him into the sun, NASA. Do us a favour. Just pop three seats onto it and psh, away you go. Battlefield 5. He gets woke. Goes broke. So, Battlefield 5 shows trailer off for E3. In this trailer, you've got this English woman with one arm and a prosthetic, which is probably from the 70s or maybe the 80s, using a rifle exceptionally well, and then jumping out and outrunning tanks and stuff. And it looks like a fantasy sort of thing. Now, if you wanted to put women in a World War II game, Stalingrad. There were women snipers in Stalingrad. I know this for a fact. Because there's a big fucking museum for them in St. Petersburg. Now, I think, was it St. Petersburg? Doesn't matter. Anyway, people got upset about this. And they turned around and went, this is bollocks. They all went, this is bollocks. And the guy behind it, I can't remember his name now, turned around and went, well, if you don't like it, don't buy it. So guess what happens next?
No one buys
pre-orders it. Pre-orders. Pre-orders are right fucking down. Well done, Nigel. Have a biscuit. Pre-orders are fucking right down to the point that they fired him. So, yeah. Because he was sitting there going, oh, no, you don't know anything about history. And it's like kind of women weren't really on the front line. You know, talk about all that sexism and stuff that kind of existed in the 50s during this period where they wouldn't let women fight on the front lines unless you were the French Resistance. And I only say that because I've watched Hello, Hello many times.
Hello, women.
And there were all women in that.
Pay and attention. That's the only reason. I should say this only once.
It's. And I have no idea how historically accurate that is.
I fucking love
that's 100%
that.
Accurate.
Even now, it looks really old, but it still holds up. The comedy in that series was fucking genius. And Lieutenant,
it's clearly based on.
And Lieutenant Gruber, and his little tank. He was played a Minbari in Babylon 5.
Yes, he did. He did. That made a smile on my face. That was fifth series to B5. That's the one where they all try to commit suicide in hyperspace by venting the engine into the atmosphere. God, I've got a sad memory. Him and his little tank. Do you know that's the only World War II comedy that the Germans actually like? And do you know why?
Why?
Because they're part of the joke.
Yes, they
they're
are.
They're in on the joke, which yeah, they never mean. Were. So they were always scared of going to the Russian front, which the Germans were like, yep, we can understand that. Yeah, and then there were the bits where, like, you had the colonel, I can't remember his name, Coronel something. He would like run roughshod over the, he'd run roughshod over the lieutenant and the captain there, and that kind of guy. And then you had the Gestapo bloke with his weird sexual fetish sort of thing. Believe it or not,
but
was
innocent.
The youngest member of cast. Pardon?
Colonel
it was innocent.
Kurt von Strom.
Was it von Strom?
Yeah, and Herr Otto Flick.
Herr Flick. That was
Flick.
He was the youngest member of cast on that.
Yes, he was. And because he turned up.
I didn't think of that.
What was it? I saw him something about 8 or 9 years ago, and he still looked. And he came in as dressed up as Herr Flick, and he looked exactly the fucking same. But, I mean, that series was one of the first. It was an equal opportunities offender because it ripped the piss out of the British. It ripped the piss out of the Germans. And it ripped the piss out of everybody. But it was so lighthearted and so well done and so well written. Even now, you can watch it and you still fucking laugh. And the way they ripped the piss out of the British and the French gendarme guy that was an English spy was just fucking genius because it was a clean-cut pre-Watershed series, but they got away with saying pissing because he wasn't actually saying, you know, you're walking, good morning, I was just pissing by. And they got away with it. They got away with it.
Is that the Flying Officer Carstairs.
No, Carstairs was one of the two British airmen that got shot down that were always hiding out.
In the old ladies.
Oh, they're always... Yeah. I'm trying to find
the... I always love the fact that they had that British airman for like years.
Yeah, they were throughout the whole thing because they were all part of the same fucking plot, weren't they? Because then there was the painting. There was the fallen Madonna with the big boobies.
Yes, which was the thing, and the gold too. Do you remember the gold that they stole?
Yes,
that eventually went missing because it was like shit. The stolen Nazi gold. I love the fact that to say that they were speaking in different languages, they just acquired different accents.
You see,
the French people had a French accent, the Germans had a German accent, the English had an English accent, and so forth and so on.
There's an interesting fact about that, because Gordon Kay, the guy that played René, it was off our screens for about 3 years, or 2 or 3 years, because in 1987, when England had the hurricane, he was very, very badly hurt. A tree fell down and hit his car. So there's a 2 or 3 year gap between one of the series. And when he came back, he has a big old scar on his head where the tree had smacked him. And I think they did 2 seasons after that, then it finished. But the final episode is genius. He finally runs away, doesn't he, with Michelle. But it's when he's really old. But he runs away with
Yvette, Mimi,
because he had a fling with all of them.
Michelle.
Yeah, and it was also they had the communist resistance, and he had a thing with that girl too.
Yes.
Oh yeah, I recognise Mimi the most.
Mimi was a little tiny
with
one
with the bouffant hair.
Yeah, on top, Mimi was a little tiny one. Little small. Fucking genius series. I love Alolo, and I still do. It's still funny.
I don't remember it. I remember watching it over my grandparents when I was a little kid, because it ran from 1982 to 1992.
Fucking hell, 10 years.
10 years. 85 episodes.
Shit, I didn't realise that.
Yeah. It ran for quite a while, and the final episode was brilliant. Because the final episode is D-Day, and then René comes, he's really, really old, being pushed, and he finally runs off with a bear and thing. But it's just, I still quote that now. When my wife does something, I go, "You stupid woman!" I mean, she smacks me for it, but she has no idea where that's from. God.
You remember that, Nige. Nige remembers that where he goes, "You stupid woman, can't you see that she's terrified?"
Yeah.
And I think it just happened to fall down.
Yeah.
But she was brilliant as well. The woman that played the wife was amazing. She was brilliant. I mean, they all were, but she was fantastic as well. Because they shamelessly ripped the piss out of her. And she played that character for 10 years. And you've got to give it to her. I mean, they were all brilliant, but she deserves a round of applause. She was amazing. Now, the Americans that listen to this podcast have no idea what we're going on about, but I'm sure there's some episodes of this on it. It's very British humour, but it's actually very, very funny. It's a genius series.
Definitely worth a shot.
Utterly genius. Has nothing to do with what this podcast talks about, but fuck it. We needed some lighthearted stuff.
And on that note, I think it's time we end.
On that D-Day bombshell, yeah.
Yes, on that.
Hey.
Sure, the other thing too is I'm sure that it was happening during like a remembrance ceremony. That they wheeled him out for a remembrance ceremony.
Yes, it was.
And that's when he does it during the remembrance ceremony.
Yeah,
it was. I can't remember if there was TV cameras there too, because that would have made it funnier if there were TV cameras there and they're filming it. And here's René, because he was part of the French resistance, and then it's just him fucking off. I see. Okay. So, it's goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from me.
Yeah, it's goodbye from me.
Oh, God damn it, Nige.
Podcast.
You should say goodbye from him.
Why?
Google two Ronnies. See you later, guys. Bye bye.
Thanks for downloading the Monkey Nut Punch podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Monkey Nut Punch. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Monkey Nut Punch.